It's Wednesday, the 9th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Matt Barnes. Fantasy Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Johnny Pastrami. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast just like Mr. Pastrami did, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor for just one show. So thank you to Big Johnny. It's much appreciated, and thank you to everyone who's done that so far this season. Of course, big shout out goes out to Moneyball.com.au, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. If you live in Australia or if you live in New Zealand, join up with Moneyball, play some DFS contests, win some money, recoup any losses you might have had in any other sports, or hey, just for fun. It's a lot of fun. So go and join in with Moneyball and help support the podcast as well. We have got a lot to talk about. As usual, every day I've got a lot to talk about. I can't stop talking. We've got stacks to talk about, the games from Tuesday, previewing Wednesday's action. So
let's get to it.
Sure, we'll start as we always do, with the Instagram and Facebook contest. On Instagram, we're looking at Jonas Valanciunas, how many combined points, rebounds, and blocks Jonas would have. The total was 13. No one got that one right. That's a disappointment. Facebook, Johnny Wall, assists and steals. The total was 13, and we also had a tiebreaker. How much would Justin Willis's baby weigh? After he tweeted in while his wife was delivering the baby as he was listening to the show live. So we put that as the question. How much would his baby girl weighed 6 pounds? No one got that one correct, but John Wall with 13 combined assists and steals. This feels like Lee Ellis's Tweet of the Week shoutouts. Pasha Zolfagari, Joe Benjamin, Julian Love, Dylan Mee, Matt Matawarren, Floyd McCune, and Joe Ricaro all got it correct. So that's probably the most people who ever... I should have had that music that Lee has on the starters. Those guys all got that one correct. So congratulations to you guys. On Instagram, for which day's game? Wednesday's games. We're looking at Jim Harden. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists? And to enter the Instagram contest, all you need to do is follow me at @redrock_bball and leave your answer. Easy. Facebook, we're looking at Big Kev Durant. We're looking at how many combined points, rebounds, and assists Durant will have. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Like the page, comment on the photo, comment on any of the other posts that go up there. And the interaction on Facebook has been increasing steadily, and it's really good. I think it's a great place to be able to chat with people from all across the world, talking fantasy basketball, talking NBA in general. I had some good discussions about the Bucks today with Josh as well, who's you would have heard Josh on the podcast tweet-wise. His Twitter is @StopBuntingPlease. He's a great tweeter, and joining on the Facebook conversation as well. So join up. I'm sure you've got Facebook accounts. Just go and follow the page and interact with the posts that are on there. All right, that is the contests on various social media sites. Now we need to transition into the monstrous line of the night. I'm laughing at this music. The monstrous line of the night goes to B-Lo. Brookie from the block. Brookie with the blocks. Brook Lopez of the Brooklyn Nets. So many Brooks. 35 points for Brookie. He had 5 rebounds. 3 assists, 1 steal, and 7 blocks. He went 13 of 17 from the field, and he hit all 9 of his free throws. Brook Lopez is a very good basketball player. He is a fantastic fantasy basketball contributor. I targeted him pretty aggressively this season. I drafted him in quite a few leagues. You would have heard me talk about in the Red Rock Dynasty League that I traded for him, and very happy about getting him there. The injury is a concern, obviously, but I've mentioned this before on the podcast multiple times, that the word that I'd heard from, and I heard it from Zach Lowe, about the injury is that the last surgery that he had, if it didn't fix the problem basically for good, then he wasn't going to play again. Then it was just going to keep happening. And it's been 2 years and nothing's happened. And I'm on a wooden desk here, so I'm touching on wood. You can hear that knock. It's been 2 years and his foot's been okay. And he's been bloody good. And he's an awesome fantasy player. People, don't love him as a fantasy target. And one of the reasons people haven't loved him in the past, and you know, I've had thoughts on this plenty of times, is he doesn't rebound. He's 7 foot and he doesn't get rebounds. That's cool. He's 7 foot and he shoots 80% from the free throw line. How many guys do that? He does it in other areas. And that's part of the my issue with people. Oh, I don't want DeMar DeRozan. He's a shooting guard who doesn't shoot threes. You know what? Get Ryan Anderson who hits 2 threes a game as a power forward. You can work around these things. And what Lopez gives you is amazing. 21 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 rebounds is not bad. A steal, 2 blocks, 51 and 78 as his percentages for the season. He's a top 20 player, basically. He has been putting up fantastic numbers all season. He's played 63 games this year. He played 72 last year. 2013-14, he played 17. That's not a great output from him there. The year before, he played 74, then 5, then 82. So he's had 3 real write-offs of seasons. But apart from those 3 foot breaks, he's been durable. And I'm very, very hopeful that he's past that issue now, because he is a very good player. And NBA people, not necessarily fantasy people, don't think that he's awesome, and they don't think that he's a great building block for a team. And I can sort of understand that. But for our purposes, for fantasy, what he does is he's going to keep doing it the next few years. I can't see how anything changes. He might get traded, but he's still going to be able to do it. He's still going to be one of the best offensive centers in the game. He's still going to be a very good shot blocker. He's still going to be an elite field goal percentage and free throw percentage guy. That's not going to change. He's doing some very nice stuff. And this was the pièce de résistance for Brook Lopez in this game for the Nets. So apologies for the horrible music puns and all that stuff at the start there. But I don't know. I was just giggling to myself with that song, because that pan flute in the background of that song, it always makes me laugh. I can't help it. And I'm probably the only one, so I do apologize. The waiver wire line of the night: Dave West of the San Antonio Spurs. Timmy Duncan was out in this one. They rested Manu Ginobili and Tone Parker as well. So West got the start. He played 31 minutes, went 18-4-3. He had 2 steals and a block on 7 of 9 shooting. That's great, and that's awesome. Worth a stream in on a situation like that. But there's nothing actionable for us here. Let's go add David West. Like, no, he's just going to be that 18, 16, 20-team league guy that's going to provide nice value. And if you own him in a 30-team league like I do, and he has a game like today, then you're pretty bloody happy. But it's not going to happen all that often. It'll happen when Pop rests Duncan. And after I had a big, not tirade yesterday, but a big, have a look and see what Kyrie's doing, look at his minutes. He played 24 minutes today to make me look like an idiot. But it still holds true. My main point in that wasn't a rant. I don't know what it was. I was going to say it's like an editorial, but I'm the only one talking on these podcasts anyway. My main point was, when I spoke about Kyrie's minutes, is don't fall into believing narratives without looking into them, because they're not always 100% true. And yes, Kawhi got sat here, but he'd been playing about 38 minutes a game for the previous 6. And yeah, that's just what happens. The young gun of the night, D'Angelo Russell, played 36 minutes for the Lakers, had 27 points. He hit 2 triples, 2 rebounds, 3 assists and 3 steals, and super efficient, 11 of 19. The Lakers get another victory. This is what the Lakers could be doing. And Laker fans, brace yourself. You could be playing yourself out of your draft pick. You could also be playing yourself into another season with Byron Scott as coach. That is the biggest lose-lose proposition I've ever seen. Now, it's great that these young kids are starting to play well, and it's great to get some winning back, but if those two things happened, it would set this franchise back years. So you'd hope to win some games, but you hope it doesn't cost you those two things, having Scott coach again and losing out on your draft pick. Because the more wins you get, the more likelihood both of those things are of happening. Russell's been fantastic over the last couple of weeks, averaging 23 points in his last 2 weeks. 3 triples, 4.7 assists, 1.5 steals, 3 rebounds, 48% from the field, which is probably due to come back down a little bit, although he is at 46% over the last 2 months, so his shooting percentage has improved dramatically. He's not an elite free throw guy, just at 75% over the last month, but the other numbers are still pretty decent. His turnovers are solid as well, at 2.4. It's not ideal, but it's not horrible. It's not 4 a game that Draymond's giving you, and Russell's really finding his own. When Kobe's out, yeah, I think it's great for Russell's played okay with Kobe in, but with Kobe out, we're seeing what we're going to see more from guys like him and Jordan Clarkson next season, depending on what happens with their draft pick. If they pick another guard or what happens with Clarkson in restricted free agency. But both of these guys are really starting to look really, really good together. And Clarkson's role on a good team is probably a sixth man, but I think he can still be a very effective player. But we're talking D'Angelo Russell. He is putting up some fantastic numbers there. It was really tough to own him early on, but basically since Christmas, he should have been owned despite the ups and downs, and it's paying off for you now. The dud of the night, all praising Brook Lopez, the dud of the night is Robin Lopez. 17 minutes for Rob. 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 of 2 shooting. That's not a good night from Robin. It's not a good night coaching from Kurt Rambis. But at this point, that doesn't need to be said. That can go without being said. A poor night of coaching from Kurt Rambis. Talked about it yesterday on the podcast about the ridicularity of Rambis playing these minutes for these players. And, I've got to win. You're not winning. You're getting smashed. Melo played 39 minutes again. Lopez played 17. Aaron Aflalo was your next highest minutes guy with 36. Now, at least he gave Jerian Grant 22 minutes and Jose Calderon didn't play 35. But a lot of it's not making any sense. He played just 20 minutes. He is being beaten down by Rambis mentally. And it is Kevin Love all over again. He wants to turn Porzingis into a 3. Does this guy understand what the NBA is these days? Does he get it? Have you seen the guys who play the 3? It's not someone who Porzingis is going to be able to keep up with. He's not a 3. He's a 5. Rambis is going to coach the Knicks next year. It's almost guaranteed to me. And it is a joke of an organization if that's the case. And if he has to win games to be the coach next year, then that is even more of a joke. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, this franchise is going nowhere with that sort of mentality. It is just, it's thinking from 25 years ago. Have some common sense, have some foresight, have something. Back to Robin Lopez, it's a stinker. It's coach-induced stinking. Don't worry about it. He still has to be owned. Look for him to play 30 minutes in the next game and have a big night. This makes no sense, but this is what Kurt Rambis and the Knicks is. There'll be things that don't make a huge amount of sense, and that's exactly what we saw here. Lopez's season was terrible to start off. It has kicked up a bit. The last month, he's inside the top 75, averaging 12.5 and 8.5 with 1.5 blocks. And talk about Brook Lopez's percentages. Robin is shooting 62% from the field and 92% from the free throw line in that last month of action. Just ridiculously big percentages from a big man, putting up some huge, huge numbers. Let's take a look at the perfect DFS lineup for Tuesday. Point guard, Dame Lillard, 64.5, and Ramon Sessions with Bradley Beal out. He played some extra minutes, 31.3 at a real cheap salary. Shooting guards, Gaz Harris, 29.8, and Jordy Clarkson, 33.5. The small forwards, Mallow at 46.4. He's going to play every minute of every game, it appears like. And Gordy Haywood went 33.7. With Timmy Duncan out, LaMarcus Aldridge, 53.4. And Ed Davis with the surprise, 36 for the Blazers. And the center, Brookie Lopez, 56.5. And that would have totaled you 385.1 points. Now, it's time for a quick word from today's presenting sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy your tickets online? Most sites make it complicated and they all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever before and sell sports and concert tickets. It's the best place to go. The app's easier to negotiate. You can go and have a look on the... I'm not currently in the States, but I still go on there and look at the prices for these games that I could be watching if I wasn't at home here and working and doing podcasts and such. But there's great prices for NBA games. Heading into the playoffs as well, you're going to be able to get playoff tickets if you're traveling around, you want to follow your team. If you're heading from overseas, like plenty of people I know in Australia, head over to the US for NBA playoff time. It's a great app, and you're going to get $20 off, which I'll talk about in a sec. SeatGeek has taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. They pull all of the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code REDROCK, one word. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code REDROCK today. It's easy, straightforward. Help support the podcast as well and get yourself $20. That is exactly what the SeatGeek partnership is doing for this show. So thank you to everyone who has signed up with SeatGeek. Thank you to SeatGeek as well. And they've got a great product. So I'm just thank you to them. It's great for getting tickets. That's all I need to say. Let's move into these games now and start looking at them in a little bit of extra detail. Bring that up on the screen for you guys watching along on video. The first game is the Brooklyn Nets, and they did take on the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors got the victory. Bojan Bogdanović played 32 minutes, 12 points with 5 rebounds, had a couple of threes, couple of steals. He's a borderline must-own guy for 12-team leagues. I think you probably want to own him, but it's only really if you're looking for the points and threes category. My boy Markel Brown struggled, only played 20 minutes, had 4 points and 3 assists. But if you added him, I'm not so quick to drop him unless you're in a playoff matchup or you just like, I need to stream, I need to get someone else in. Then you know what, he's disposable in that sort of situation. The Nets gave Wayne Ellington 29 minutes, which is just the wrong move in my opinion. 8-4-2 for Ellington with a couple of triples. He's not going to produce anything. Thad Young, 14-4 in his return, 32 minutes with a block. Decent performance. And guys like Tom Robinson and Willie Reed, who were really good in the last game with Lopez and Young out, not so good here, but still, you know, relatively productive for the short time. 12 minutes for Tom Robinson, 2-5-2 with 2 steals, while Will Reed went 10-6 with a steal as well. And they're guys to definitely watch if Lopez and Young happen to miss any more time down the stretch. Sean Kilpatrick played 15 minutes, 8 points with 2 triples for him. He's a very deep league sort of player. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson apparently is close to returning from his ankle injury. And there's a lot of people, do I stash Hollis-Jefferson? Well, first of all, if you don't have an injured reserve spot, I don't think it's not a wise decision to stash at this point. And is he really a game changer? A rookie who's missed the last 3 months with ankle surgery, who can't score, who can get rebounds, yeah, and some steals, is he going to really change things around? I don't think that he's worth stashing. Unless you've got an IR spot and you're punting points and you're desperately needing rebounds, then you'd look at him then. But I can't see him having some sort of influential role in determining fantasy playoffs. The Raptors, DeMar DeRozan, 25-3-2 with 4 steals. Big night from DeRozan. And Jonas Valanciunas, who I talked about earlier, only played the 21 minutes, which is really, it's really disappointing to me. 10-3 with 2 assists in his 21 minutes, while Bismack Biyombo played 26. 6-10 for Biyombo. Great defensive numbers. 2 steals. 2 blocks. This is not something that is going to happen all that often. I wouldn't have thought, so I'm not rushing to add Bismack. What did happen in this one is Luis Scola sat out to rest. Jason Thompson got the start. He played 24 minutes and was on fire to start the game. He cooled off, definitely. Ended with 9 points with 5 rebounds. Hit a triple, had a steal, had 2 blocks. Really nice numbers. Is Jason Thompson a must-own? No. No, he's not. Will he continue to start? He might. But Dwayne Casey was pretty adamant when they brought him over that he's here for insurance purposes only. So I imagine that Luis Scola comes back in, plays his 14 nondescript minutes, and Thompson goes back to a 6 or 7 off the bench. Remember, Jason Thompson playing for the Kings when he would start and play 30 minutes wasn't worth rostering. In this sort of situation, there is no chance of rostering him, I don't think. Unless we're talking pretty deep stuff. 16, 18 team leagues maybe you'd be looking at. You'd have to roster over 200 players to own Jason Thompson. And I think he goes back to 5-6 minutes in the next game. Kyle Lowry, 23 points with 4 triples, 9 assists. Brought him down with a 5-of-9 shooting from the line, which is definitely not a standard for him, but he'll be better, obviously. And Terrence Ross went 11-6 with 3 triples in 24 minutes. Norman Powell got the start, 21 minutes for Powley. 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, and a triple. That's great, but you know what's going to happen? Dwayne Casey's doing my favorite thing, and he's going to rotate, and he's going to put James Johnson back to start the next game and limit Powell. But Johnson didn't even play in this game. Johnson's the Tayshaun Prince at the moment. Yeah, he'll start one game, and he won't play the next one. For what reason? I wouldn't have a clue. It doesn't make sense to me. Powell is still a guy that I think has tremendous upside as a two guard in the league. Johnson's on the downhill swing. There's not much to see, though, for fantasy owners. Patrick Patterson had 11 points, had a triple one as well, 3 rebounds and 2 assists. So nice numbers, but he's had so many opportunities this season to do something and hasn't been able to do it pretty much at all. The Spurs and the Timberwolves. Big rests for the Spurs. They still got the easy victory. LaMarcus, 29-7-4 with a steal and 4 blocks in his 29 minutes. He went 11 of 13 from the field, so obviously really efficient there. Dave West I talked about already. No Tone Parker, so Andre Miller got the start. He played 25 minutes in the year 2016. It must be pretty close to him celebrating his 60th birthday, but he got through 25 minutes, had 13 points with 5 assists, a steal, and a 3. Andre Miller can still dish assists. He's not a good shooter, and so the 5 or 6 shootings are a little bit of a fluke, but he can still dish it. And if we hear that Parker's going to miss more games and you want to do a one-game stream for someone to get some assists, he's not a horrible guy to look at. Danny Green. This is very Danny Green here. 9 points in 32 minutes, but 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 1 triple. It's exactly why you want Danny Green for those peripheral numbers. Now, Kawhi was still okay, 15 and 5 in his 25 minutes, and not much to really talk about on the bench, except Patty Mills was terrible. 18 minutes, 7 points with 4 assists in off 3 of 11 shooting. Expecting him to have a really big role in this one, but he didn't. He played less than Andre Miller, and it's just more of a Pop's unpredictability. Still haven't seen Kevin Martin suit up for the Spurs yet. On to the Timberwolves. Andy Wiggins, 23-8 in 39 minutes. A 3, a steal. Decent. Nothing spectacular. Karl Anthony Towns, also decent, but not spectacular. 19-9. No peripheral numbers. Yeah, 9 of 17 shooting is good, but whatever. It's an okay game. It's nothing great. Zach LaVine, 36 minutes. 15 points with 3 assists was decent as well. Rick Rubio only played the 21 minutes in this game. Foul trouble got him. 2, 4, and 3. But what it did is it unleashed my boy Tyus Jones, who played 27 minutes. 10 points, 2 triples, 6 assists. Please take note of Tyus Jones. He is going to be a dynasty player at some point in the next 3 years. I'm sure of it. Gorgui Dieng, 28 minutes for him, 4 and 4, but saved himself with 2 steals and 2 blocks. 1 of 7 shooting. Not a great night for Gorgui, and he's on the downswing a little bit. Shabazz Muhammad played 21 minutes for 11 points. Adrian Payne played 21 minutes and had 6 points. And not much else. Tayshaun Prince did not play at all, which is probably the most positive sign for the Timberwolves. The Atlanta Hawks and the Utah Jazz. Jeff Teague, 24 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, a block, and 3 triples. A great night for Teague, especially going up against Utah. While Dennis Schroeder was limited to 7 points, 4 assists in 16 minutes. This is why I don't think that owning Schroeder in a 12-team league is a great idea at this point in the season. Too many ups and downs, and the overall contribution he gives you is not going to be enough in a standard format. Paul Millsap, 18-9 with 3 steals. Al Horford, triple one with 11-7. So again, decent nights and really solid percentages from both Horford and Millsap, but nothing overly spectacular. Kyle Korver had 8 points in 26 minutes. Owning him in a 12-team league is probably a losing proposition at this point. And Kent Bazemore played 29 minutes and went 6-5. He'd been better recently, and this is a return to that mid-February sort of form we'd seen from Bazemore, which to me is more in line with who he is as a player. I can't wait to see how much he gets paid in the offseason. Very, very interested. With the Jazz, Derek Favors, 16-8, 2 steals and 3 blocks, continues to be just really good and really underrated. Gordy Hayward, 22-6-3 with 2 triples, a steal and a block. 6 of 18 is not ideal, but 8 of 9 from the line, still some nice numbers. And Rudy Gobert only chimed in with 6 points, but had 15 boards, 2 steals, and went blockless. So just a nice game again. No one really exploded on Tuesday, apart from Brook Lopez. Rod Hood had been disappointing recently, but he bounced back here. 16-6-3, 3 triples and a steal. I still think that he should be owned everywhere. Despite that lean period, he had to continue to be owned. Shelvin Mack, 2 of 13 for 5 points. 7 rebounds and 4 assists. And this is what will happen with him. He'll probably go out and score 17 in the next game. He is very up and down. Alec Burks' return, maybe within the next week, is going to push him back and give him 4 or 5 less minutes than what he's been getting. And that's going to all but eliminate his standard league value. Trevor Booker played 20 minutes, went 8-5. Joe Ingles is getting some extra run lately as well. He played 23 minutes for 4, 5, and 2 with a triple. Not much to really make of Joe Ingles from a fantasy point of view, though, but he is getting some extra run. It's cutting out guys like Chris Johnson and Trey Burke, who hasn't played at all in the last 2 games. The Knicks and the Nuggets. Mello, 39 minutes. Look, he's great for your fantasy team. 37-4, 3 blocks, a triple, 9 of 18 from the field, all 11 free throws. These numbers are brilliant. And if you invested a high pick in him, you are loving what Kurt Rambis is doing. You're loving it because he's putting up just fantastic numbers. You just hate it from a common sense point of view, or I do anyway. You hate it. His last three games, he's averaging 40 minutes, 28-8 with 5 assists, 1.3 threes, 52% from the field and 93 from the line. These are great numbers, but it's just going to end in tears for someone. Derek Williams played 21 minutes, 15-4-3 with 3 triples, so they're prioritizing Williams' minutes over Porzingis, which, again, just stupid. Kylo Quinn, 10-5 with a block in 18 minutes. Really nice production, and that's a good DFS line at that salary. He was a guy I did talk about yesterday. He's getting some extra run, and it's okay. He's giving you that sort of 20-plus point mark at, you know, almost minimum salary. Jerian Grant got 22 minutes, which is a positive. 7-7 with 2 assists and a block. It's more of a situation to monitor at this point. If you're in a 16-team league, I might make an add and just see how my team looks, but it doesn't appear like any sort of move to the starting role is imminent. Jose Calderon played 26 minutes, 6-4-4, probably as best he's done recently, to be honest. Porzingis, 6-5-3, a steal, 2 blocks, just getting murdered by Rambis. He's not droppable yet, but you know what? You're in the playoffs, and he's going to get 20-22 minutes a game. It's going to be tough to hold him, and that might seem stupid for as good as Porzingis has been, but you're playing for the playoffs now. You're not playing for what he did in December. And he could still do it. I'm pretty sure he's still going to be able to produce that if he played 30 minutes. But Rambis has got it in his head that he knows what he's doing, and he doesn't, and that's going to affect him. Aflalo played 36 minutes, had 9 points with 4 rebounds and 2 assists. That's pretty yuck. And Langston Galloway had 7 points in his 27 minutes. For the Nuggets, Ken Fareed. The second half storm continues. 28 minutes for Fareed, 24-10 with a steal and a block. I don't understand it. I need to speak to someone in Denver to talk to him and go, why does it take you 4 months to warm up every year? That's exactly what's happening. You'd be pleased to know that Gaz Harris's ownership has gone up from 35 to 40%. People are listening or realizing this guy is actually good. 16-4-4 for Gaz, 2 triples, 1 steal, 1 block. Has to be owned. Has to. Everyone's boyfriend, Will Barton, he's not good. 21 minutes for Barton, 6-5, 3 assists and 2 steals. He has been bad for quite a while. He had a red hot start to the season, and I look like an idiot for saying that Will Barton was terrible, but he's just terrible. He's ranked outside the top 120 for the last 2 months. His shooting is way down, and it's a great indicator to look at guys who career 42% shooters and come out for the first month and a half and shoot 48, and everyone's, you know, riding all over him. And look at this guy, the best ever, Will Barton. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, improving by 10% in the field is unlikely. Yeah, improving from a 27-point three-point shooter to a 40% three-point shooter is unlikely. He's shooting 18% from three from the last month. That's more realistic than him shooting 40%. Yes, he's been fun. He's provided great moments. But in reality, he's just not good. And it is starting to catch up to him now. Do you have to own Will Barton? In a 10-team league, I would say definitely not. In a 12-team league, it's a little bit debatable, but he's been really tough. Really tough to own. The last 2 weeks, he's ranked 238th. That's not ownable at all. But you expect there's some ability for him to turn it around from there. Still not keen on it because I don't love him. DJ Augustine, 21 minutes, 10 points with 6 assists. He does have 12-team back-end value, while Emmanuel Mudiay, 15-7-5. So got the counting stats happening. Also destroyed your field goals, going 6 of 19, but hit both his free throws and had 1 turnover. Out of all those 3 massive negatives that Mudiay had, I'd say he's solved, and I'll use solved very loosely, he's solved the turnover issue, because that's not a concern. The free throws have improved, and the field goal percentage is still a worry. Nikola Jokic, 34 minutes for Jokic, 20-9, 3 assists, 1 steal and 1 block. He's only 58% of leagues. It's too low. Yes, plenty of people are eliminated now, so I understand that. He has to be owned everywhere, and it doesn't matter if he plays 20 minutes in the next game. It doesn't matter if he plays 22, because he'll still probably have top 100 value in 20 minutes. But when he gets to 30+, it is ridiculous. And it was here, 20-9 with a steal and a block. And that's against a Knicks team who, you know, recently, big chunks of the season, has just been able to stop opposition centres and reduce their fantasy output. Didn't matter to Jokic. Darrell Arthur had 10 points in 24 minutes, probably his best game since Danilo Gallinari's injury. And still no Yusuf Nurkic, and Jakar Sampson had 2 points in his 17 minutes. So he is losing ground as a starter. Alex Toupin scored 5 points in his 14 minutes, so he's even cutting into Jakar's minutes. And yeah, Jakar is deep, deep, deep leagues only. Because he's actually terrible. The Washington Wizards and the Portland Trailblazers. Marcin Gortat played 33 minutes, and again, amazingly, he was good. 19 and 10 with a block. 8 of 12 from the field. He also had Gerald Henderson block him on a game-winning shot attempt, which was amazing if you haven't seen that. Jared Dudley out of nowhere for 39 minutes. He had 16 and 5, 2 steals and a triple. Big game for Dudley. This is not making me going at him, though, but this is fantastic production. Johnny Wall went 25 and 11, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and 3 triples, and just a frightful 8 of 25 from the field and 1 of 4 from the free throw line. So percentages be damned for John Wall. Everything else was good. Ramon Sessions played 34 minutes in this one. 21, 4, and 5. I would much rather see Ramon Sessions play over guys like Garrett Temple. It also helped that Alan Anderson was ejected after 1 minute. So that's what got Sessions the extra playing time. Otto Porter back to 30 minutes. Production, was it back? No. 7 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. Not an ownable guy to me in 12-team leagues at this point. And Markieff Morris struggled 8 and 7 with a block. You know what? I'm still going to stick with him, but I can understand people wanting to move on from him. I can understand it. Lillard, 41, 5, and 11. 6 triples and a steal. Amazing, amazing percentages. 12 of 25, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. Continues to have a fantastic season. CJ McCollum, 18, 3, and 2 with 2 triples. And the big man rotation, Mason Plumlee was limited. He played 22 minutes and had 7 and 4. Al-Farouq Aminu was bad, 5 and 8 in 28 minutes. Did have a block, but he's not a 12-team league guy for me. Noel Vonleh started and played 11 minutes, and it continues to be 11 minutes too many, because Ed Davis is having a fantastic season, and Ed Davis is a very good player that nobody really knows is a very good player. He should have been the starting power forward in Toronto for a very long time, finally got to become the starting power forward, put up big numbers, and then got his ass shipped to Memphis, and was buried there, rightfully so, behind Zebo. Went to LA, should have been playing there more, didn't. And now he's in Portland. And he had a big game, 9-15, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. If you want rebounds and blocks and field goal percentage, Ed Davis is ownable in your 12-team leagues. He will hurt your free throw percentage, though. He will hurt it. So you've got to weigh up whether you can deal with that. Myers Leonard, 25 minutes. So his minutes, they are increasing, 10-6-3, but he's not a 12-team league guy yet. And Gerald Henderson had 12-7 in his 30 minutes. The last game of the night, the Orlando Magic and the Los... Yes, the Orlando Magic, that's them. I almost stuffed that up. And the Los Angeles Lakers, Vic Oladipo, 26, 4, and 2. 2 triples, a steal, and a block. He's running on all cylinders at the moment, and as is Evan Fournier, who played 40 minutes, 23, 4, and 3. Fournier is owned in 68% of leagues. I don't really know why he has to be owned in more of those. No Nick Vucevic again, so Dwayne Dedman played 20 minutes. He had 5 points, but 10 boards, a steal, and a block. He's a great rebound and block and field goal percentage option in the short term if Vucevic is out, but I'm definitely not dropping anyone of value to go and stream in Dwayne Dedman. Aaron Gordon was just bad in this one. It was odd. It wasn't Skiles' fault. He played 28 minutes, but he was just bad. 5, 4, and 3 with a steal and a block, and occasionally this will happen with young guys. It just happens. Not worried about Gordon, not dropping Aaron Gordon, but this was bad. The point guard situation, Scott Skiles, you know, I didn't blame you for Aaron Gordon, but he just doesn't, the point guard situation is annoying. Lord Alfred Payton played 20 minutes, had 7, 2, and 3. Yeah, it's not great. CJ Watson played 25 minutes and went 10, 3, and 5. Why is CJ Watson playing 25 minutes? Yesterday's game, Brandon Jennings had 20 points, and I was talking about it. Jennings, don't believe it, don't go and grab him. It's Skiles, it's bullshit, it's whatever Skiles does. And Jennings played 4 minutes here and had 0 points. Work it out. I can't work it out. Can you? Skiles can't work it out. It is frustrating. You obviously can't own Jennings in standard formats. You obviously can't own CJ Watson, but both of them are fine in deeper leagues. And Payton is a guy to own, but it's super frustrating at the moment. Mario Hezonja is not ownable in standards either. 16 minutes for 6 points and not much else. He is clearly going to be stuck behind Oladipo and Fournier for the rest of the season. Julius Randle had 23-11 with two steals. A very nice night from Randle. He went 9 of 16 from the field and 5 of 6. And if he can do that more often, yes, he will be a big fantasy contributor. Jordy Clarkson, 24-5-3, and hit 5 triples. His 3-point shooting has been absolutely amazing. For a guy who wasn't a 3-point shooter really at all last season, he has become, I don't even know what to say about him. He is at 44% over the last month. He's hitting in that last month 2.9 triples a game. Last year he hit 0.6. He has transitioned from a point guard into a shooting guard, which is probably his more natural position. His assists are down, but his shooting is up. His 3-point shooting is up, and you can tell that the kid's worked on it. And unlike the Will Barton situation, where Barton had played 4 years in the league and then, you know, 41, 41, 41, 49, well, that feels odd. You know, Clarkson, it's rookie improvement. You know, first year to second year to third year, you expect improvements in percentages. And that's what Clarkson's doing, and it's working out well for him. I had a question today from Heath on Twitter, asked me what my thoughts on Clarkson were for dynasty leagues or keeper leagues. I think that what we saw from Clarkson, if we go back and look at the stats that he put up last year in the second half, the last 2 months of last season, I think that he's going to be able to do similar things to that with improved efficiency. And he could be a very dangerous player. I've got him in a dynasty league, and I'm pretty happy about it. I've got him in two dynasty leagues. Actually, I drafted him as a rookie in one of them. I'm very happy about it. I think that he can be a very, very impactful fantasy player. If you get you two triples a game over a steal a game, you know, four or five rebounds, 3 assists, 20 points, which is not stupid. He's averaging 18 over the last month. And with Kobe not there, he's going to get some extra shots. And with Russell improving his shooting and improving his facilitation, he'll open more spots for Clarkson. I think that he can be a very good fantasy player. And I was very down on him this year because of the presence of Lou Williams, the presence of Kobe, the presence of Russell. But when Kobe's gone, and when hopefully Williams is minimized and Nick Young is maybe out of there, he's just going to go, I'm playing 35 minutes a night and I am the guy. And let's hope that whoever the next coach is believes that and sticks with it. Marcelo Huertas played 23 minutes with Kobe out, 5 points, but 6 rebounds and 5 assists, continues to be a nice assist streaming option. And Brandon Bass got 24 minutes, 8-5-3, continues to provide nice numbers. 10 boards for Larry Nance with 2 steals, that's probably his best game since returning from that knee problem. And Nick Young, Swaggy P, started and played 23 minutes and had 0 points. He started in place of Kobe. Nick Young's owned in 9% of leagues. Brandon Bass is owned in 7, and Marcelo Huertas is owned in 2, and those numbers are terrible. Huertas and Bass should easily be owned over Swaggy. There is no reason to own Swaggy P in any sort of fantasy league. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk DFS for Wednesday's game.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come and now, me and the sky run.
Look at these 9 games on Wednesday. The first one of them is the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Heat are on a pretty good win streak because they've played nobody of any consequence. So we'll see how they hold up against, how they hold up against a real team, but they're playing the Bucks. So let's take that back. The Heat are favored by 2.5, and the total here is 201. Hassan Whiteside, which that could be a difference maker. He is questionable with a sore tummy. He has a stomach illness. I'm glad it's not referred to as a stomach flu, because I hate that term. But he is, he's definitely, it's big if he doesn't play in this game. Point guards. Jared Bayless at 4,300 dropped 30 in the last game. 4,300 is not a big salary. Does he get to 24 points? I think he should comfortably get to that range. So at 4,300, I'm fine with using him. Goran Dragic at 6,800, been smashing that value recently. There's no Michael Carter-Williams to defend him. I think that 35 points should easily be within range for him, and we're not looking at Tyler Ennis. Shooting guards, Dwayne Wade is at 7,700. He's got a 38 average over his last five. This is a very positive matchup for Wade. I'm all for using him here. And Chris Middleton, the opposite side of things, 7,800. It's $100 more for Middleton. His production has actually been less than Wade over the last five and the last three. Do I like using Wade or Middleton better? I probably like using Wade a little bit more here, marginally, but Middleton's still a fine guy to use. His numbers recently have been a little bit off, just not much, but with a guy like Middleton, that makes me think that the next big one's coming. The next 45-point outing isn't too far away. So I'm not off him completely. Joe Johnson's at 5,200. I just want him to drop. He needs to drop under 5,000 for me to really become interested in using him. And Josh Richardson, for as much as I love him, he does nothing for DFS. Speaking of doing nothing, OJ Mayo is minimum salary and he does nothing. He'll start and do nothing. Small forwards. Luol Deng, 6,100. Yeah, big game in the last one. He's going to be playing the four, and you know the big men against the Bucks. It is time to feast. 6,100 for Luol Deng. All systems go, I reckon. Justice Winslow, 4,000. No thanks. On the other side of things, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's averaging 53 points across his last five. He's at 9,600. You can have him for 9,600. That is so expensive. That salary has jumped. Look, he's been crazy good. But at 9,600, I'll fade it. Thanks. Because you're needing him to go for 50, and yes, he's basically been 50 nearly every night, but I will fade it at 9,600. Someone else can do that, and it might backfire, but it's so expensive. Power forwards. Amari Stoudemire is at 3,800. If Hassan Whiteside is out, do you believe in Amari's ability to get 20 fantasy points, to get 24 fantasy points? I'll put my hand up. I'll say yes. I think that I do believe. I think he'll play 25 minutes. And he will be able to get that sort of play, that sort of production. If Whiteside plays, I'm not really looking at Amari at 38, but if you're looking for a cheap center option, he could be the guy to go for. Jabari Parker at 6,800, being comfortably overvalued. He's almost a 36th guy most nights. Fine with using him here as well. And no one else to really consider. In this one, Josh McRoberts has been a complete non-factor out of the rotation. Great discussion with Josh on Facebook today about Greg Monro and the fit with the Bucks, and I agree that he doesn't fit this team very well at all, and that Kidd is fine not to play him. And there's a couple of points that I brought up with Josh. You can go and join in that conversation we had over on Facebook, but my points were is I didn't like Kidd saying we're going to move him to the bench, we're going to play him the same if not more minutes, and he didn't. He's like 3 or 4 minutes less, which is not much, but it's still less, so I don't like that part of it. You can say that Monroe doesn't fit with his team, and I agree with that. But who else have they got? Miles Plumlee? He doesn't fit. You can say all you want that Monroe doesn't fit. They need someone who's a bit stretchier. They need someone who's a better defender. But when you don't have that player, what are you going to do? You're just going to say, "Oh, sorry, we don't have the right guy to play center, so we're just not going to. We'll just do nothing. We'll just put a stick out there. We'll just put a tree out there, like Miles Plumlee." Plumlee's not the answer, but Munro's more of the answer than what Plumlee is. And the next thing is, if I'm going to bag Jason Kidd, Jason Kidd's the GM. He's not the GM, but he's the GM. He's making these personnel moves. He's bringing in Michael Carter-Williams. He's signing Greg Monro. He is directing this franchise. So if you can't make it work, Jace, don't bring him in. Easy. Hassan Whiteside, you hope that he plays. You don't get many better matchups in the Bucks for big men. He's already averaging 42 across his last five. Yes, he's priced at 8,700, but would you be shocked if he got 50? If Hassan Whiteside had a triple-double with 30 rebounds, would you say, didn't see that coming? Oh, I wouldn't. There is a massive chance that he has a huge night here against the Bucks. Miles Plumlee, not someone I'm interested in. The next game, there's a lot of green on this one. The Houston Rockets and the Philadelphia 76ers. Jahlil Okafor has already been ruled out. Nerlens Noel has been upgraded to probable, so he will be playing. Sonny Weems was claimed by the Sixers. He's signed. He will be playing in this one. Other injuries, Nick Stauskas is dealing with an illness. He will likely play. Terrence Jones, he may not play. He's probably injured in some way, but even if he's not, He's not going to have an impact anyway. Point guards. Ish Smith, 6,800 in. Don't love it against Patrick Beverley. I'll go in a different direction. Pat Bev, on the other hand, at 5,000. Yeah, he's been consistently at that level lately, averaging 27.5 over the last three. In big minutes recently, averaging 36 in those last three games, 34 across his last five. Not a tough matchup. At 5,000, he's a nice cheap point guard to look at. Isaiah Cannon, if Nick Stauskas happens to be out, at 3,900, Cannon can get hot. So in a tournament, you can get 25, 30 points out of Cannon, and it doesn't feel ridiculous. Shooting guards. Nick Stauskas at 3,500. No thanks. But the other man on the other side in the red, Jim Harden, 11,000. That salary keeps going up. But I don't care. He's basically looking at him carrying this team through and getting you 60 points each night. Now, he doesn't need to get you 60 points here in this one. And yes, they might blow the Sixers out, but they're not good, the Rockets. So they might not. And Jim might have to do plenty to keep them in it. So I think that 55 points for Harden is, it's not a lock, but you feel pretty confident about him going out and putting up a big night. Small forwards, Bob Cove at 5,700. That salary has jumped, but against Houston, he's had some big nights against Houston previously. I think that at a 35 average across his last three, there's a bit of bust potential with Bob Cove, but I still think that he's one of the better options on the board at small forward. Trev Ariza, 6,300. I'm definitely spending $600 less and using Bob Cove. 3,700 for Hollis Thompson. He's played big minutes lately, but doesn't translate into much DFS points, so I'll leave him out of it. And Corey Brewer at 4,000 has been really, really on fire lately. Now, it's a good matchup against the Sixers, but I don't trust Brewer's reproducibility with his stats. Sonny Weems and Mike Beasley, two recent signees for either team. I don't think we need to be too fussed over both of those guys. Power forwards. We've seen Nerlens Noel with Jahlil Okafor out before. He's at 6,100 here. He's coming back from a shin issue. At 6,100, 30 points, I think that Nerlens Noel could eat 30 points here pretty simply against, again, a Houston front court, which is terrible, Rockets bump, and no Jahlil Okafor. Definitely in play. Jeremy Grant at 5,200 has been underwhelming, but I reckon Grant with Noel, with Okafor out, is interesting to me, and I think that he is at 2,500. That's not a bad guy to look at. Donatas Motiejunas, love that he's starting, love that his minimum salary, but the production has not been there at all. Not trusting that. Josh Smith, Clint Capella, Rishon Holmes, Carl Landry, Terrence Jones, none of these guys are going to do anything to get us excited. Centers, Dwight is at 7,900. Don't mind Dwight here at 7,900. Does he approach 40 points? I reckon he's got a fair chance of doing it. So I think that he's in the conversation to be used as a center, and not my number one play, but he's not that far off it, to be honest. New Orleans and Charlotte. The Hornets are favored by 9. It's the Hornets Bowl. 210 is the total in this game. Point guards. Norris Cole is still dealing with a back issue. He is questionable. Drew Holiday is at 8,000 now. It's getting expensive, but he's going to have to play a lot of minutes. He's going to produce a lot. I think that it's not an overspend to spend 8 on him. 8,800 for Kemba. I would much rather spend the 8,000 less on Drew. Now, Kemba's been really good. Obviously awesome. Averaging 43 across his last 5. But if Drew's going to play 35, 36 minutes, I'd rather take Drew and save that $800. Norris Cole at 5,700. If we know he's playing, I think that's a great investment at 5,700. He dropped 45 in the last one. He's averaging 30 across his last 5. There is stinker potential with him, definitely, but I like him at 5,700. If he's out, Tone Douglas at minimum salary. He's a tournament punt option and hope that it comes true. Didn't in the last game, but there's an opportunity for him anyway, especially with Luke Babbitt now hurting for the Pelicans. Courtney Lee at 3,500. Minimum salary, he needs to be at 2,000 for me to really have a good look at him. He's averaging 11.8 points in the last three games. Nick Batum at 67. I think that he is worth it at that salary with a 35 average across the last three. Not a great game in the last one, but put up 31, which is still solid. I think he's fine. Jeremy Lin, Jeremy Lamb, no interest. Small forwards. Alonzo G or Luke Babbitt are our two options. So we'll move on to power forward. Cody Zeller is at 4,600. The Pelicans' front court is a definite boost. Now, Zeller played 21 minutes in the last game, but that was fouls. He fouled out. I think he goes back to 25 to 26 minutes, and he's averaging 23 points across his last three, including his 14-point game in the last one. I think that 25 points is not a ridiculous target for Cody Zeller here, and I reckon he is in play against this Pelicans' front court. On the other hand, Ant Davis, Tone, at 10,000. 50 points for Tone. Do you think that he can do it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident he gets 45 plus here, Davis. He's worth a look. 5,800 for Marv Williams. Tournament. I don't think I'd trust it in a cash game. For as good as he's been, the DFS value doesn't always stick out. So more of a tournament option. Ryan Anderson, he's just not even a tournament option for me at this present time. And Dante Cunningham does nothing with his minutes. At centre, Al Jefferson was good in the last game. At 5,400, he's averaging 24 across the last five. I'd be okay with looking at it, but I definitely wouldn't want it in a cash game because it's very dependent on game situation and is Zeller in foul trouble or not as to whether he gets minutes. So I'm not relying on much there. But you know what? He's better value than Omar Asik and Kendrick Perkins. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Boston Celtics, the next game up. No spread out for this one. The Grizzlies sat millions of guys in their last game. The majority of them should be back, although Mike Conley won't be. So Matt Barnes should be back from his hamstring issue. Zach Randolph should be back from his knee problem. On the Celtics, we've got Jared Sullinger, who's been in hospital with a skin infection. He's questionable. And Kelly Olynyk is questionable with his shoulder issue. So wouldn't be using Kelly Olynyk in DFS, and I wouldn't be using him in standard leagues. But if Sullinger has to miss time, someone's going to benefit. Probably won't be Olynyk coming straight back, though. He's more of a 14-team league ad for now. Mario Chalmers at 5,300 is one of the better options on the board. He is going to play 40-plus minutes. There is no other point guards in Memphis. He is going to do that. And you would have to think that he's going to get 30 points. And that makes him a tremendous value. He will be owned in very high ownership percentage in pretty much all cash games. Marcus Smart has been down at 4,800. I'm not loving him. Isaiah Thomas at 8,100. I think Thomas is a pretty decent guy to look at that salary. He's averaging 43 across his last three. He's at 36 across his last five. That's not a bad salary. If Conley's out, I think that he's worth looking at. Had a question come in from Ron Blaze on Twitter at 8L8. Actually, how many jerseys do you own in total? I'd have to go and count, but there is four teams that I currently don't have. And I'm waiting on, they're all ordered, they're waiting for them to come. I'm waiting on my Grizzlies jersey. I'm waiting on my Kings jersey. I'm waiting on my Hawks jersey. And I'm waiting on my Magic jersey. And that's it. And I've got one for every team. I've got a LeBron High School. I've got a Ben Simmons College jersey. I've got a Larry Bird College jersey as well. I've got... I'm trying to think what else I've got. So 26 plus those three, 29. I've got an extra Lakers jersey, 30. I'd say 32 is probably comfortable at this point, Ron. So thank you for the question. But I'm waiting for those last four to come. I need to complete this set. So I've got one of every team. Hopefully it comes. Hopefully it's here soon. And I can debut it if one of those players from one of those teams has a big night. Shooting guards in the Memphis-Boston game. Avery Bradley is at 5,200. Not hitting value for me recently. Lance Stephenson at 44 was big in the last game, 31 points. There's a reason for that, though, with Barnes and Conley and heaps of people out for the Grizzlies. Same with Tone Allen, who put up 44 points at 4,500. You're going back and chasing them feels like a losing proposition. Small forward, Matty Barnes, is at less than 5,000. He's at 48. That makes him appealing, but he's only appealing to me in a tournament setting. He's very up and down. There's not many cheap small forward options on the slate at all who are... have any sort of ability. So I think that he is worth a look in that sort of situation. Jay Crowder's at 62. His production has been down lately. Not keen on using him in this matchup. Vince Carter at 3,700. He'd need all those injuries to occur for me to go back to look at him. Evan Turner's not happening either at the moment. Bit of a downswing for him. And it's not a good matchup. Power forwards. Zach Randolph should be back. He's at 6,500. His numbers recently haven't been good, but this is a good spot going up against the Celtics. I'd have some hesitancy, but also a little bit of confidence in using him. Jared Sullinger at 62. If he's in hospital, I'm a bit worried about him from the skin infection point of view. Jermichael Green at 4,600. He was great in the last game, but he probably goes back to 25 minutes, and that makes me a little bit skeptical. But in his last three, he's averaging 27 minutes, and it's giving you 28 fantasy points. So he's about a point per fantasy minute. And at 4,600... does he play 25 minutes? Does he get 25 fantasy points? Yeah, that's not a stupid proposition. I probably wouldn't use him, though. If Sullen just happens to be out, Amir Johnson and Jonas Jerebko should get boosts, but I don't think they're going to be DFS options. At center, Tyler Zeller at 3,500. I reckon if Sullinger's out, Zeller's a guy that I'm a bit more keen on looking at, and at minimum salary, he can get 20+. And Kelly Olynyk at 4,400, not using him in his return from his shoulder issue. Detroit and Dallas is the next game. The Mavs are favored by 2.5 points here. The total is 205. Stan Johnson is out. Jody Meeks will be out of this one as well, coming back from that foot issue. Point guard, Darren Williams at 5,600 has been a little bit down lately, but I'm okay with using him here. I think that he can approach 30 points in this matchup. Reg Jackson at 6,900 had a monster in the last one, but his production had been fairly depressed before that. 6,900 means you want him to get 35 points, and I'm just not that confident in him doing it. JJ Barea and Ray Felton are not interesting. Shooting guards, Wes Matthews has been terrible. Someone called me out on the Facebook page, which is fine. For me to stop recommending Wes Matthews because he's been terrible. Yeah, he has. He had a nice little stretch late February of putting together some nice numbers, but just terrible recently. 16 average across the last three. A terrible matchup against Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You are not using Wes Matthews. Caldwell-Pope had his best game back from the groin injury in the last one, 29 points. At 5,000 in a positive matchup, I would look at him in a tournament, but that's really about it. Small forwards. Marcus Morris is at 5,000. He's getting nowhere near that sort of value lately, so we'll leave him alone. Chandler Parsons at 67 has been a little bit down as well in his numbers, and this is not an ideal matchup, but he's not terrible. He's a tournament-worthy guy. Reggie Bullock is at 3,600. I don't mind him in a tournament here. He put up 23 in the last game. His shooting has been elevated by a ridiculous percentage, so there is reason to be concerned. But at 3,600, could he get to 20 points? Maybe. You probably got better options, but he's not a complete write-off. Power forwards, Toby Harris is at 5,800. I love Toby Harris at that salary. I think that 30 points is almost where he's going to sit most nights, so he's fine. Dirk at 67 is too high for me, continually too high at that price. And Dave Lee at 5,000, terrible matchup, but he's been pretty good. He only put up 21 in the last game, which is not quite where he needs to be. He's not someone that I want to bank on in DFS, unless they decide they're going to sit Zaza and start him, and then I'll be a little bit more interested. Zaza is down to 4,700, and I don't want to use him. Andre Drummond at 8,500. Carlisle's a big hacker. He's a big hacker guy, and Drummond could get hurt here. 8,500, he is not someone that I'm looking at. It looks like a great matchup. Yeah, the Mavericks give up a lot of points to centers, but how long is Drummond going to stay in the game? That makes me go, Aaron Baines, it could be your time here. He's at minimum salary. If he plays minutes, he had a 19-point game in 26 minutes. He could crack 20. He could crack 25 if he's given extra run. He is a tournament, very cheap, sneaky option. Aaron Baines. Phoenix and the New York Knicks. Could these two teams be run any worse? Probably not. The Knicks are favored by 1 on the road. Wouldn't be shocked if they lost here. 207.5 is the total for this one. Lance Thomas had a knee issue. Doesn't appear serious, so that's all right, but he is questionable. And the great news is Brandon Knight is questionable. He made it through practice. He might return to the court. He's not going to play his 36 minutes first up after missing about 6 weeks with his groin issue, but he's going to be back. He is a guy. Now, you talk about stashing Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Brandon Knight should be going at him and see what happens over these next couple of games. I've added him in a playoff matchup because if he comes good, I'm going to win that playoff matchup, I'm pretty sure. Not using him for DFS, though, in his first game back. Jose Calderon at 3,900. You could use Jose in a tournament, and maybe something happens. It doesn't get much easier than playing the Suns' backcourt. If Brandon Knight is out, Ron Price at 3,900 is a punt tournament option as well. Jerian Grant, good minutes. 18 points is not bad at minimum salary, but I don't trust Kurt Rambis to do that again. Shooting guards, Aaron Aflalo, as always. Tournament, yes. Cash, no. Langston Galloway, 35. Yeah, beautiful matchup, but will he see the court enough? Is it minimum salary, though? So I don't hate throwing him into a tournament, and maybe he plays 26 minutes and scores 15 points and 5 rebounds and gets you 20 DFS points. It's a possibility for Langston, so don't overlook him. 5,700 for Devin Booker, one of the best options on the board, I think. He's averaging 30 across his last 5, 37 across his last 3. Yeah, things could fall off, but it's not. The Knicks aren't a tough matchup in the guard position. Guys like Archie Goodwin and John Jenkins aren't really worth much of our time. Small forwards, PJ Tucker at 4,600. The salary is too high. Mallow is at 9,100. The salary is right. He's averaging 46 points. He is 45 to 46 every single night. 9,100 for Mallow. Fine. You know that Rambis isn't going to care that it's a back-to-back on the road with an old man with sore knees. He's going to play in 40 minutes. And if he doesn't, I will apologize tomorrow. Mallow is great to use at this salary, especially if Lance Thomas is out as well. Chase Buttinger might be able to play in this game after recently signing with Phoenix. I don't think he's going to have much impact, though. Power forwards, Mirza Teletovic is at 4,600. Terrible matchup for him, and his production's been bad as well. Not sure he's a great option, but he's always worth a tournament look. He's at 6,300. A great matchup for him. Does he get unleashed finally? Maybe. I would throw him into a tournament and think that he can go for 35, 40 points. I would feel really not confident about it, but it could come true. Derek Williams, yeah, I don't care there. Centers, Alex Len, 6,600. It's risen, but I don't care. He's averaging 41 points across his last five. Yeah, Robin Lopez can defend guys, but still, Len is the guy to use here. Lopez at 5,800. Yeah, not bad. Had a real stinker today, and this is a great matchup for Lopez. He could be bounced back as well. Tyson Chandler at 44 against his old team. I don't hate Tyson Chandler here either. I think that he can get you 25 points and put up a big performance. And I also like Cock. 3,600 for Kylo Quinn. He put up 18.5 in the last game. 19 is his average across his last three. He's playing just 14 minutes a game. It is a beautiful matchup. If Lopez is limited, if Porzingis is limited, could he get to 20 points? There is a chance of it. There's not many cheap center options on the board. So when I'll name him later as a guy that I like as a recommended center pick. I don't recommend you spend a small amount of money on a center. But if you are, and if you've got big money in other places, Kylo Quinn at 3,600 could be a real interesting piece in a lineup. The Clippers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder at home, they're favored by 5.5. The total is 215.5 points. No Blake in this one. Obviously still waiting for him to come back. Point guards. Russ versus Chris Paul. You're going to spend $10,600 on Russ. You're going to spend $10,000 on Chris Paul. So you've got a $600 saving on Paul. Who's got the easier matchup? Point guards against the Thunder, big boost. Point guards against the Clippers, big drawback. Who's been playing better recently? Well, Paul's averaging 51 across his last five. Russ, 47. Paul's averaging 44 across his last three. Russ, 42. Everything is telling me to take Chris Paul here. So that makes me think, is it a trap and I need to take Russ? But no, I would rather take Chris Paul at 10,000 here. Austin Rivers and Pablo Prigioni, Chris Paul's esteemed backups, they're not worth looking at. And the campaign. Let's campaign for campaign. He needs to get minutes. He won't. Shooting guards, 4,600 for JJ Redick. Has been a little bit quiet lately, but he is worth a punt in a tournament, but not a cash game option. Dion Waiters is worth neither. And Jamal Crawford at 49. Under 5,000, he is much more appealing, but his production of late hasn't been awesome. And not many other guys there worth looking at. Small forwards, KD is the man. He is at 10,900. He's a 56 average across his last five. He is consistently in that 50-plus range. I feel real confident about using him. Don't have the same level of confidence in Jeff Green, surprisingly enough. It is against his former team at his former home court. At 4,800, he has 35-point upside. There's not many sub-5,000 guys that do. So in that case, you might look at Jeff Green in a tournament and be the 1% of people who own him. But otherwise, it's yuck. Wes Johnson, Paul Pierce, Kyle Singler, not worth looking at. Power forwards. No Blake, obviously. Serge Ibaka is at 5,800. He's just not even producing at that number. And against the Clippers team, who is restricting opposition power forwards, I don't love that matchup one bit. The centers. DeAndre Jordan was awesome recently. He's averaging over 50 in his last three games. He's at 8,600. I think that 40 points for DeAndre Jordan should be pretty comfortable. The Thunder are relatively good defensively against centers, but Jordan is in some pretty nice form at the moment. I would be okay with using him. Steve Adams at 42. He's a tournament play. He dropped 29 in the last game, but with an average of only 17 across the last five, he's not a great player at all. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Sacramento Kings. There is no spread released for this game as of recording. Injury-wise, Ben McLemore is questionable with a ring fingertip fracture. He doesn't impact anything. Darren Collison's at 5,000. You know what? McLemore, if he's out, that means Collison plays more too. And I think at 5,000, he's had a couple of quiet games, Darren. I think that 30 points should be within reach for him. Kyrie at 7,200, he takes the defense of Rajon Rondo, and he should be able to get you 35 points. I think that Kyrie is a nice play here. Rondo, on the other hand, at 8,500, I would rather spend 1,300 less and take Kyrie every day of the week. Shooting guards. J.R. Smith has been terrible for quite a while. It doesn't take much against the Kings to become good. Their shooting guard defense is terrible. He is primed for a big game. It might not work. It is not a cash game look, but in a tournament, I am all for using J.R. Smith. This could be a big game for him. Iman Shumpert at 3,900. Don't put much trust in him. Ballinelli will get a bump if McLemore's out. He's a minimum salary guy, and he would be worth looking at in a tournament if McLemore is out. Not many other guys worth looking at. Small forwards. Rudy Gay at 6,600. That's a pretty low salary for Rudy Gay, and I'm on board with using Gay at that salary. You should be able to get 30 points out of him. LeBron, on the other hand, at 10,100. Love it against the Kings. Really easy matchup for him. He should really comfortably get 45 plus. Omri Caspi, no thanks. Rich Jefferson, no thanks for those guys either. Power forwards, Kevin Love, I am not going to be interested in him despite the easy matchup here. He's at 6,800, but he's just not getting it done. Isn't averaging over 30, and that's not good enough for me. Tristan Thompson at 46. Minutes are too fluctuable, not looking there. Willie Cauley-Stein, he is averaging 1 point across his last three games, so needless to say, that is a stay-away situation. At center, DeMarcus Cousins, 11,100, the highest-priced guy on the board. Don't love it against the Cavs. I'm not going to be using Boogie. If I'm spending 11,000, it's going Jim Harden's way. It's not going on Boogie in this matchup. Tim Mozgov, nope. The last game of the night, the Utah Jazz at the Warriors. The Warriors are favored by 12.5. When the Jazz have played the Spurs this year, they have had their asses kicked solidly. Would it happen again? I guess that remains to be seen. The Jazz are a horrible matchup for the Spurs. We'll see how that works out here. 12.5 point favors the Warriors. The total is 208. Andre Iguodala is questionable with his hamstring. Shelvin Mack is at 3,900. He is very up and down, but he is a great tournament option against a high-pace, high-octane Warriors. He could fall into 25 points. Steph is at 10,900. You're fine to use Steph. I don't think the Jazz are going to... No one can shut him down. There is 50 points written all over Steph most times he hits the court. Sean Livingston at 3,800. Probably not. Shooting guard. Rod Hood, 5,400. Not quite for me at the moment. Yeah, nice bounce back game, but I don't want to use him against Clay and the Warriors. Clay at 7,100. Probably not either with Hood and Haywood switching onto him. Clay's good, but the Jazz defense might be an issue for him. Leandro Barbosa, Chris Johnson, not guys that I'm that interested in here. Gordy Haywood at 7,300. I think he's fine at that mid salary guy. A really solid cash game small forward. Harry Barnes is at 4,200. I dare to use him. Iguodala at 3,900. He probably won't play. Power forwards. Draymond is at 8,200. It is way too expensive. I am not using him in a cash game at all. In a tournament, fine, but there's no chance I'd use that in a cash game. Now, Derek Favors at 7,600. Feel much more confident using Favors for 600 less in a cash game. He's an average of 36 across his last three. He's playing some pretty solid basketball at the moment. Guys like Trevor Booker, Maurice Spates, Trey Lyles, none of these guys have much interest. At center, Andy Bogut at 5,000. That salary's come up, so that means I want to go away. And Rudy Gobert at 6,900. Not doing it at that salary. Yes, he's been okay, but he had 25 today. He's averaging 33. These are okay numbers, but they're not brilliant. And I reckon I can do better at center than using Rudy Gobert. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day. Jared Bayless at point guard, 43. Mario Chalmers, 53. And Chrissy Paul at 10,000. Shooting guards. Earl Smith Jr. at 4,500. Nick Batum at 67. And Jim Harden at 11,000. Small forwards Matty Barnes, 48. Bob Cove at 57. And Kev Durant at 10,900. Power forwards Cody Zeller, 46. Nerlens Noel, 61. And Tone Davis, 10,000. And the centers Kyle O'Quinn, 36. Alex Len, 6,600, and Hassan Whiteside, 8,700. We are done today, guys. Make sure you follow me on Twitter and Instagram at redrock_bball, and you're following along Basketball Monster at Bask Monster, and sign up for your DFS tools and your, if you want some cheap tools for your fantasy playoffs, we've got it all over on Basketball Monster. Huddle Paroxysm has great articles, great podcasts, a nice Heat podcast went up today. The Heat Check podcast went up, so make sure you're checking that one out and you subscribe to all the podcasts over there. and subscribe to this one and leave a review. If you've got 5 minutes spare and you appreciate what happens on this show and you enjoy it, just leave a review. It doesn't cost you anything apart from a little bit of your time, and I'll be grateful. Really, really grateful. Thank you to everyone who has done that so far. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.